Praise the Lord, saints. I believe he has been speaking to us and he has been among us in these past few meetings, even though in this virtual platform. I really thank the Lord very much for affording this means for us to have this kind of fellowship. Now, in this meeting, we come to the last message. The title of this message is The Intrinsic Factor of the Winds of Teaching for Their Evil Purpose. Well, it doesn't sound very appealing or very nice, the title, talking about winds of teaching, evil purpose. The previous messages, we touch on some very sweet, lovely, positive aspects of the intrinsic aspects of the building of the church as the body of Christ. Now we suddenly we are making a turn to see something on the negative side, something which we call here the winds of teaching, which is also operating in an intrinsic way. The title mentions that it is an intrinsic factor, just like those positive factors, which are intrinsic, which are inward, which are hidden. This negative factor, the winds of teaching, is also hidden, is also intrinsic, not easily discernible. But we need to pray that the Lord will enlighten us, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we'll be able to discern such winds of teaching. Because this intrinsic factor of the winds of teaching is for their carrying out of their evil purpose. It is utilized by Satan to frustrate and eventually destroy the building up of the church as the body of Christ. So while we are enjoying all the positive aspects revealed in the past few messages, we need to be aware of such negative factor, which is very much going on as well. You know, I consider today we are living in a time of pandemic. There is a virus that is operating in a nearly an unseen way that is doing much damage, that practically closed down the whole world. Doesn't matter if it's Africa or America, Europe, doesn't matter how advanced your culture is or how backward, it does not matter. This virus hits everybody. And now many countries are at a stage of having vaccination. And these winds of teaching are like viruses doing much damage to human life, to our Christian life, to the church life. We need vaccination. We need a positive inoculation. You may consider this message as a kind of shot, as a kind of vaccination. We all are getting inoculated in this meeting, in this message, get vaccinated against this virus of the this negative factor of the winds of teaching. The word winds here actually is not positive. Rather, it is negative. Remember, even when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, when he was crossing the sea, the lake with the disciples, there were the winds there blowing, and the waves in the water. So the Lord had to exercise his authority to calm the wind, to stop the wind, to calm the wave. That's something from the evil one, trying to stir up something. The winds are there to actually to destroy, to blow you away, to knock you down. This is the purpose of the wind. Not too long ago in our area, we have we experienced strong winds. The tree, small tree in front of our house, got blown down, got knocked down, lying flat on the ground. Winds are destructive. And in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us there are the winds of teaching. Some teaching are used by the enemy as winds to blow away the believers, to blow apart the churches, and to accomplishing their evil purpose. So as believers today, as we are endeavoring to build up the organic body of Christ by pursuing the Lord in this intrinsic and organic way, we must be aware of this negative intrinsic factor of the winds of teaching. We know, even from church history, that all the church leaders realize how important teaching is, right? You may say that the Bible is full of teaching, right? And aren't teachings good? And isn't the Bible full of teachings? Yes, but the Bible full of teachings, not for tearing down, not for blowing you away, but for building up. And particularly the healthy teaching, the nourishing, positive, proper teaching. Church leaders, I say, they realize how important a teaching is in building up their church, in building up their organization. But they don't realize if they don't handle their teaching in a proper way, when they allow different teachings or improper teachings to come in, that will cause actually destruction. And if you look at the situation of Christianity today, it's full of division, full of rivalries between one another. Why? Because of the influence of different teachings. Some are for this way, some are for that way, some are for piano, some are for organ, some are for banjo or guitar, some like this kind of meeting, that way of meeting. All the different teachings bring in division among God's children. So this is Satan's strategy to damage, to destroy the building up of the church. So teachings are important, but we have to realize which is the proper teaching, healthy teaching. Not all teachings are good. So in this message, we want to see the winds of teaching as a negative intrinsic factor. But before we see that, we want to see on the positive side, what is the proper teaching? What is the healthy teaching? If we do not know what is the genuine, what is the real teaching, we will not be able to discern the improper, the counterfeit teaching. Just like people in there's the real money, but there's also the counterfeit money. The best way to prevent the counterfeit money is to know how the real money feels, what the real money looks like. So before we go to see the matter of the winds of teaching, we want to first learn what is the proper and healthy teaching revealed to us in the Bible. Okay, Roman numeral 1 says, the teaching of the apostles is the unique and healthy teaching of God's eternal economy. Well, in Acts chapter 2, after Peter spoke the gospel, 3,000 got saved. And we are told in verse 42, right away, these new believers there in the church in Jerusalem began to be to stand steadfastly in one accord in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and the prayer. Such an expression, the teaching of the apostle, appear for the first time. And later on, in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 9, such a phrase was also mentioned. There it says, holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles. What is the teaching of the apostle? If you consider at that time in Jerusalem, right after Pentecost, 3,000 got saved, and Peter just gave a wonderful message. So practically, they did not have many teachings to go by. Surely the Lord Jesus taught a lot when he was on the earth. He taught in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He taught in chapter 13. He taught also in Matthew 24, 25. He gave a lot of teachings. And then at the end of his life, before he ascended to the Father, he told the disciples to go disciple the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 20, he says, and teaching them with all that I have commanded you. So the Lord charged the apostles, the disciples, that after they baptize the people, they also need to teach them with all that the Lord had taught them. So I believe the apostles' teaching surely consists of Jesus' teaching, right, while he was on the earth, what he taught them. Then in addition, that these apostles, they were just one with the Lord, right? And these apostles, these are who are called by the Lord, who are so close, intimate to the Lord. These are not just ordinary Christians. These are not ordinary disciples. They were apostles. Apostles means what? The sent ones. They were sent out by the Lord Jesus to carry out the Lord's commission. This such an expression, the teaching of the apostles, implies what? This is the teaching, not Christian teaching, not good teaching, not spiritual teaching, but is the apostles' teaching. The teaching that is by according to the that is by the apostles who were the sent ones by Christ to accomplish his eternal economy. So these ones, they taught according to the teaching of Christ when he was on the earth. And now these ones not only were sent by the Lord, they had the living Lord living inside of them. Right? Now, after the Lord's resurrection, Christ as the Spirit dwells in these apostles. And Christ even spoke through these apostles. Don't you believe when Peter spoke that message in Acts 2, he was not speaking as a good man, as a regenerated, as a redeemed fisherman. No, he was speaking there in oneness with Christ. He was speaking there with the living Son of God dwelling within him. His speaking was actually Christ speaking. Well, such an expression, the teaching of the apostles, is very striking, very meaningful. Although on the one hand, there seem to be many teachings in the New Testament, but here this expression tells us there is only one teaching. The teaching here is singular, not teachings, but teaching of the apostles. There were many apostles. On the day of Pentecost, there were 12 apostles, but they all spoke one teaching. There is a unique teaching, and this teaching is a healthy teaching concerning God's eternal economy. So we must be impressed with this fact. When we come to the matter of the apostles' teaching, we are talking about this unique teaching. We are not talking about one kind of teaching, a particular item among the many teachings in the Bible. No, this is the teaching in the New Testament by the apostles, which is what God ordained, what God desires for the New Testament believers to adhere to stand steadfast in, to continue steadfast in for the building up of the church. Now, the next three points give us definition of this teaching of the apostles. A, the teaching of the apostles is the entire teaching of the New Testament as God speaking in the Son to his New Testament people. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, God, having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways to the fathers in the prophets, this is in the Old Testament, has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son. This is in the New Testament time. The way God speaks change. In the Old Testament, God spoke in the prophets as instruments, as men through whom God spoke in many portions, in many ways. But now in the New Testament, God's speaking was carried out in the Son. Actually, in the original Greek, it means in the person of the Son. The Son, who is the embodiment of the Father, he embodies God's speaking. God speaks in the Son. The Son was not just a channel, was not like a recorder to pass on God's speaking. The Son was the very speaking of God. He was the embodiment of God the Father. So when the Son spoke, the Father was speaking in him and with him. So it says here, the teaching of the apostles is the entire teaching of the New Testament as God speaking in the Son. Surely when Jesus was on the earth, as recorded in the four Gospels, whatever he spoke was part of the apostles' teaching, right? Was part of God's teaching in the New Testament. But even after the Lord Jesus died and resurrected, now as the life-giving Spirit, he came into all his disciples. When those apostles, like Peter, he stood up to speak the gospel on the day of Pentecost, that was the Son. The Son was speaking in him and with him and through him. That was not Peter's gospel. That was the apostle. That was the Son's speaking in Peter and with Peter. And not only with him, and also to other apostles, like Paul, who came later on, right? He spoke very much. He spoke 14 epistles in the New Testament. Although he was not among the early, the first group of apostles. But he was captured by Christ. He was regenerated by him. And he also became a son of God. The very son of God now came into him to regenerate him, to make him also a child of God. And when Paul spoke, it was not just him speaking. He was not merely passing on God's word in an objective way. Christ was speaking in him. So the teaching of the apostles is very particular. It's not just to pass on some good teaching, to pass on what Christ spoke when he was on the earth. It refers to the entire teaching of the New Testament as God speaking in the Son. The Son here not only denotes the only begotten Son of God who came to the earth, but also the very sons of God whom we are, whom we become through regeneration. So today, when we prophesy, when we speak for Christ in the meeting, it's not a small thing. We are not here just as a recorder to just turn on the tape, turn on the to repeat some kind of speaking in an objective sense. But as we are speaking, Christ is speaking in us. I hope even in these messages, Brother Tim and I are speaking, they are not our words. They are actually Christ speaking in us and through us and with us. This is the nature of the New Testament teaching, which constitutes the teaching of the apostles. Then B says, the teaching of the apostles is the unique divine revelation of God's New Testament economy from the incarnation of God to the consummation of the New Jerusalem. This is the content of the apostles' teaching. It covers from, it is the divine revelation of God's New Testament economy from the incarnation of Christ. This very one, Christ, the Son of God, he is the very embodiment of God. He came to be incarnated as a man in the flesh to dwell among us. He tabernacled among us. And after living on the earth for 33 and a half years, he was crucified on the cross. And in 3 days, he rose from the dead in resurrection. And he became a life-giving spirit to enter into all his believers. And he continued to operate in them. On the one hand, he ascended to the heavens. On the other hand, he as the Spirit lives within all his believers. And then through all his believers, he continued to move on the earth. And these believers, they exercise to live Christ, to express Christ, and they are being built up together with one another to be the body of Christ on the earth, that ultimately to consummate the New Jerusalem at the end of the Bible. Brothers and sisters, this is the content of the teaching of the apostles that concerns the step where Christ was incarnated all the way to the consummation of the New Jerusalem. Then C, another definition of the New Testament, of the apostles' teaching, it is the holding factor of the one accord causing us to have one heart, one way, and one goal. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believers were saved, but they were not divided. They were not reasoning or debating with one another, like many Christians today in Christianity. They were in one accord. Why? Because they were all continuing steadfastly in this unique teaching of the apostles. So we say this unique teaching is the holding factor of the one accord. This is like everyone, every believer adheres to this teaching. No believer is allowed to teach other things. there is only this unique teaching being taught, being spoken in all the churches, which kept all the believers in one accord. This is the holding factor, causing us all to have one heart, one way, and one goal. Now, D says, we must be those who are holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles. Just as the early believers, that's how they had the church life. 3,000 believers, just one heart, one soul, taking one way for one goal. And today, in the most confusing environment of the Christian world today, full of division, because due to many doctrines, many concepts, many preferences, many practices, dividing Christians one from another. This is the environment we are living in today. It doesn't matter, you are in Africa, Europe, America, China, is the same. Christians are divided by the many different teachings. Today, as those who are in his recovery, we must be those who are holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles. From the time that Brother Nee was raised up in 1922, by next year, it will be 100 years among us in the so-called the Lord's recovery. The Lord is bringing us all, keeping us all in one accord up to now, from the time of Brother Nee, and then through Brother Lee, and since he passed away in 1997, 24 years ago, and today, we may even call ourselves Brother Wee, are still continuing steadfastly. What holds us together? Even though apparently the prominent leaders have gone to be with the Lord, for the last 24 years, we are still being kept, preserved in one accord, not because of some strong leaders among us, but because of this teaching of the apostles we all subscribe to, we all adhere to. The teaching passed on to us from Brother Watchman Nee, who stood on the shoulders of all the ones who had gone before, from the time of the apostles, right? And Brother Lee, who is absolutely one with our Brother Nee. And he brought to us the ministry of the New Testament, which is the teaching of the apostles. Today, in the last 24 years, all the co-workers endeavor to be kept in this one accord, to follow this teaching of the apostles faithfully. Thank the Lord for these seven feasts. These messages that we are speaking to you to this conference came from in January with the first feast of this year that we spoke to the Chinese-speaking saints, right? And through this kind of practice, seven times a year, speaking nothing but the New Testament teaching according to the teaching of the apostles. It's not about all the strange teaching being passed on in Christianity today about how about tongue speaking, how about leg lengthening, how about healing, how about this thing, how about that thing. Brothers and sisters, God's New Testament economy is being expressed through the teaching of the apostles, which is concerning Christ's incarnation, all the way to the consummation of the New Jerusalem through his divine dispensing into his chosen people day by day, little by little. This is what this teaching of the apostles all about. And this is what has been keeping us. These seven feasts has been crucial, which is the means that we have been held together in one accord. It is not a small thing. Brothers and sisters, today we have saint believers in the Lord's recovery all across all all over the world, all over six continents. And we are still kept in one accord, blending together. Why? Not because of certain persons, but because of this teaching. We are being kept in one accord. Now, one little point one says, the churches were established according to the apostles' teaching and follow their teaching, and the order of the churches was maintained by the faithful word, which was given according to the apostles' teaching. Number two, we must speak the things that are fitting to the healthy teaching of the apostles, the teaching of God's economy. If in these past 24 years, without these seven feasts, keep speaking nothing but God's economy, then different brothers begin to speak different things. We like to speak something African, like to speak something Oriental, speak something American. Different ideas. They choose and prefer different practices in our Christian living. It won't take long for us all to be divided, for us all to be scattered. I worship and thank the Lord very much that in the past 20-some years, the Lord, through this unique, healthy teaching of the apostles concerning God's New Testament economy, we are kept in one accord. And I hope the Lord will continue to keep us until his imminent return, his soon coming back. The bride will be prepared through this apostles' teaching. Believe me, without this, we would have been scattered. We would have been divided long time ago. But thank the Lord for this healthy, positive, proper teaching that helps us to be built up as his organic body, to be the one new man, to be prepared as the bride to welcome the Lord Jesus back. Now, point E, any teaching that was different from the apostles' teaching was not allowed by the apostles. Teaching different things was prohibited. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul charged his co-worker Timothy, who was there in Ephesus, to charge certain ones there in the church in Ephesus not to teach different things other than God's economy, which is in faith. Paul did not ask Timothy to charge those, don't teach heretical things. But he says not to teach different things, different teaching, other than God's economy. So teaching may not be heretical, right? To say the Messiah is a woman, right? To say the Messiah is a female, which is also, there is this kind of heretical teaching going on today, especially in the Far East. That's heretical. But there are teachings which may not be considered heretical, but they are not in the same line with the apostles' teaching concerning God's economy. They will be considered by the apostle as different teachings, and which is not allowed. So that was a strong word that the apostle Paul gave Timothy. They are not allowed to teach different things. That was a strict regulation. And that became the factor of our preservation. The disorder, number one says, differing teachings refers to teachings that are not in line with the economy of God. According to, in the economy of God, we are shown God's plan and his arrangement to dispense himself into his chosen people, right? To be their life, to be their everything, eventually to make them one with himself and make him one with them, so that God can be expressed through them. This is what the teaching of the apostles all about. Today, if we want to teach people about how about keeping the Sabbath, how about eating meat, how about eating vegetables, how about having an orphanage, oh, it's without end. So many good things. So many things even may be mentioned in the Bible. We can pick up something, there's something to teach, but they are not in line of God's New Testament economy for God to be worked into his chosen people and for them to be built up as his organic body to express him. Those teachings will be considered as differing teaching. You say, what's wrong with asking people to eat vegetables? That's healthy, right? You can practice, it's okay, but when you begin to teach that, you should not eat meat. That's bloody. That's cruel. You should eat vegetables. Go back to the original state, right? When God put man in the Garden of Eden. All these are differing teaching. It does not help you to gain more of Christ into you. It appeals to man's reasoning, to man's mind, and eventually cause you to debate and argue and become divided from other believers. This is Satan's subtlety. So the apostle was very strong to charge Timothy to tell those not to teach different things. You are not allowed, even though those teachings may appear to be good and is scriptural even, but is not in line with God's New Testament economy. And that will bring in division, destruction to the church and to the body of Christ. Number two says the disorder in the church is due mainly to deviation from the apostles' teaching. A, to counter this, we must hold to the faithful word taught in the churches according to the apostles' teaching. B, in a darkened and confused situation, we need to cleave to the enlightening and ordering word in the New Testament, the apostles' teaching. May the Lord stir within our heart such a desire to come to his word, to learn what is this apostles' teaching. That means to learn about God's New Testament economy, of his dispensing himself into man, as revealed through it from his incarnation all the way to the consummation of the New Jerusalem. Only through this we can be preserved, rescued from all the confusion, from all the darkening of this evil age. Number three, we must avoid differing teachings and concentrate on God's economy concerning Christ and the church. Conference after conference, training after trainings in the Lord's recovery, we bring the saints into this focus. We don't want to talk about all the wild bees, the horns, the antichrist, and the false prophets. We don't want to talk about all those things. Although they are in the Bible, they have their place, but they are not the central teaching in the Bible. We want to avoid those teaching those things, touching those areas. Should we use one cup or many cups at a Lord's table meeting? Mm-hmm. Should we have one bread or many small pieces of bread? These are not important things. We have to come back to the central revelation concerning God's economy, which is the content of the apostles' teaching. Now, point F, the apostle Paul taught the same thing in all the churches. We also must teach the same thing in all the churches in every country throughout the earth. Paul taught this in Antioch. He taught this in Philippi. He taught this in Rome, wherever he went. He did not adjust or change his speaking, teaching, because it's with a different people in a different country. This teaching is unique, is the unique teaching of the God's New Testament economy. And it is the same everywhere. So today in the Lord's recovery, I thank the Lord that we are practicing this, right? It doesn't matter where you go today. If you have a way to go to Shanghai, or you go to Rome, or you go to Tokyo in Japan, oh, you hear the saints speaking the same thing, not speaking about the different ideas, different miracles, but they all speak about this God's economy, how Christ, how the triune God is dispensing himself into us to build us up to be his organic body to express him. This is what the Lord is doing today. Jesus, the crucial point of the healthy teaching of the apostolic ministry, concerns the triune God processed to dispense himself as the all-inclusive life-giving spirit into his chosen ones, so that they may be brought into an organic union to receive the divine transfusion and thereby become sons of God and members of Christ. As a result, they can become the body of Christ to express Christ, the one in whom the fullness of God dwells. Here it is. The whole content of God's economy is presented here. Okay? I encourage you on your own. You should read over this, pray over this, right, in a PSRP way to it. Let this be internalized, be absorbed into your being. This is the content of this apostle's teaching, which is altogether according to God's New Testament economy. Point H, all teachings that are different from the unique revelation of God's New Testament economy are considered by the apostles as winds of teaching. It does not have to be heretical. Just teachings not in line with the apostles' teaching are considered as winds of teaching, different teachings that tend to blow people away. Now, we come to the second section, which concerns now what these winds of teachings are. As members of the body, we should no longer be little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sleight of men, in craftiness.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
With a view to a system of error. This is Ephesians 4, verse 14. Paul tells us that we should no longer be little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching. The wind is there to blow you away, to stir up the waves, to toss you about, right? Some who are used to seasickness, when you are riding on airplane or riding on a ship, you just get, because of the waves going back and forth, you got your whole system is turned upside down. These winds of teaching, these teaching as winds, were designed to toss you about, to stir you up, to turn you upside down, to make you out of balance. This is carried out, what, in the sleight of men. What is sleight? Sleight is a kind of craftiness. It's like the the gamblers, the dice throwers in this casino, they use trickery to cheat people. Today, sorry to say, these different teachings is a way of cheating God's children, cheating them from their prize, from the real enjoyment. This is carried out in the sleight of men, in craftiness, with a view to a system of error. Not just errors, but a system of error. This is a little different. Error has been systematized, like a university, right? There is every university on the earth is designed to teach people of knowledge, of how to advance in science, in technology. But here is a university whose president is Satan. And the main subject of this university is how to make error, how to lead people astray. This is serious. This is not just a matter of making a mistake here and there. There is a whole system at work designed to bring you into error. This is what these winds of teaching are about, to blow you, to shake you, to knock you down, so that you will not make it to the goal to commit error as a system. Okay, let me read on. A says, little children refers to those believers who are young in Christ, lacking maturity in life. B says, the waves are stirred up by winds of different teaching, doctrines, concepts, and opinions sent by Satan to entice the believers in order to carry them away from Christ and the church. The healthy teaching nourishes us, stabilizes us, giving us steadfastness and peace. But these different teachings, they function as winds to blow you, to shake you, to knock you down, to put question mark in you, to cause you to doubt. The different doctrines, different concepts and opinions, they were sent by Satan. Remember the story in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, how Satan the serpent came to Eve by posing a question. Did God really say that you shall not eat all the trees in this garden? Look at this tree of knowledge, so beautiful. You'll be enlightened. Your eyes will be opened to know what is right from wrong. Isn't this good? Isn't it what you want? Satan is so subtle. Unfortunately, Eve fell for Satan's deception. She partook of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil and became corrupted, right? In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, that Eve was corrupted in her mind, in her thoughts, from her simplicity. The Apostle Paul was also jealous for us, jealous about that our mind would not be corrupted like Eve was. Our mind, when it's being exposed to these different teachings with the different concepts, ideas, opinions, our mind gets stirred up. We started to reason. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? How about this? How about that? Why do we have to be so narrow? Look at, why do we have to stay with only Watchman Nee, Witness Lee? Look at all the green books behind me. How come that's all we have? What about this person? How about that person? Isn't he also a servant of God? Isn't he also, his teaching is also very good to help me to be a proper person? Oh, brothers and sisters, it's endless. It brings you into this reasoning mode. It causes you to be thrown out, to be thrown about, tossed about, right? The end result is you are being carried away from Christ and the church. Your focus is shift to how to be good, how to be successful, or how to be more embracing, and this and that. How about Christ? Is Christ still your center? Is Christ still the preeminent one? How about the church? The church consists of all the believers everywhere as the body of Christ. You become divided, separated from the others who don't think the same way you do, who don't prefer the same thoughts that you do. So all the different teachings will bring about the same result, is to cause you to be carried away from Christ and from the church. You are not enjoying Christ, and you are not being built up and being one with the church. It's the body. One little one says, it is difficult for infants in Christ to discern. The only way to escape from to growing is the church being built up in oneness, or are you genuine or not? All the winds of teaching will cause you to be blown away from the enjoyment of Christ. You just pay attention to being prosperous, being good, being spiritual, maybe. And also, you don't care whether you are built up as the church or not. As long as you can read the Bible, as long as you can preach the gospel, as long as you can do some good work to help people, the church life is gone. There's no oneness, there's no building. Now C says, we need to see the intrinsic factor of the winds of teaching. I mentioned earlier, this winds of teaching is very subtle. It's not on the surface, it's below the surface. It operates in a subtle way, intrinsic way. It's like the virus today. You just don't know. When you catch it, you don't know. It's invisible. But once it gets into you, it just destroys you. Now, number one, an intrinsic factor is a hidden factor, a factor that is not apparent, not easily seen. Number two, to see this intrinsic factor, we need a proper and sharp understanding that can penetrate into the whole situation. And number three, these teachings are different from the New Testament teaching concerning the economy of God for the building up of the body of Christ. Apparently, every wind of teaching is good. However, within the winds of teaching, intrinsically is something different from the apostles' teaching and is not good. B, the winds of teaching overthrow the believer's faith and devastate the church. So on the surface, many of these teachings seem good. They may not seem heretical, like some of the very extreme ones that says even Jesus is not God, Jesus did not come as a man. These are very obvious heretical teachings. But how about teachings about we need to practice foot washing as Jesus did in John 13? Didn't Jesus tell us we should do the same thing? Oh, we should wash one another's feet. And there were Christians who really practiced this. And suppose if this becomes a teaching among us, someone comes into the church in Accra toward the end of the meeting. He stood up and said, "Well, you saints are still very short in your practice of the church. You did not follow Jesus' word absolutely. You need to do what he did in John 13. You need to practice. You need to wash one another's feet. Then you will begin to really love one another." Then he would bring a bucket of water and start washing your feet. Well, that is a different teaching. It is in the Bible, but that kind of teaching does not help you to enjoy Christ. It distracts you to pay attention to some other not as important things. Even teaching you to have a good family, right? The good family life, to be prosperous, successful in your endeavors. These are all good things, but they are different teachings. Doesn't help you to realize, to receive God's dispensing into you. I pray the Lord will give you understanding, even though man's word is not adequate, but may the Spirit enlighten the eyes of our heart to see how subtle these winds of teachings are. I finish A, little A, and little B. The winds of teaching overthrow the believer's faith and devastate the church life. This is the result. If you fall for these winds of teaching, you start paying attention, listening to them, the result is that even your faith may be overthrown. This may be somewhat extreme, but it happened. That you eventually may even question your own salvation. And also, the church life is gone. You don't want to be together with the church, with the saints. You just run away. This is Satan's subtlety. Now, point D, the teachings that become winds carrying the believers away from the central lane of Christ and the church are deceptions instigated by Satan in his subtlety with the sleight of men in order to frustrate God's eternal economy, which is to build up the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4, Paul used some very strong words. The sleight of men, which indicates deception, cheating, instigated by Satan in his subtlety. Would Christians do that? Are all Christians honest to give you the teaching to help you? Oh, we need to be aware. Satan is very active, especially in these last days. Satan is working triple times to weaken us, to distract us. As you are learning these precious intrinsic things in the first few messages, the intrinsic essence, the intrinsic building, the intrinsic fellowship. Oh, all these precious intrinsic things are so wonderful, so helpful for us to go on with the Lord, for us to be built up as his organic body. And here the subtle one is working incessantly, trying to frustrate you. We must be made aware of what he is trying to do. We must have the ability to discern these winds of teaching, not to give ground to it, not to pay attention to it, turn away from them. There is a subtlety, the trickery. You may not be able to make it out. The dividing, number one says, the dividing teachings are organized and systematized by Satan to cause serious error and thus damage the practical oneness of the body life. The slide is of man, but the system of error is of Satan and is related to deceitful teachings that are designed by the evil one to distract the saints from Christ and the church. There is a system that is working at work to cause God's children to err, to make mistakes. I can illustrate by saying this way, if someone is driving from point A to point B as his destination, and someone who is trying to cheat you, deceive you, he says the point B actually is in this location. That is actually in location C. You thought that is the destination, and you begin to drive from point A. Instead of going to point B, you go to point C. All along the driving, you kept the rule, you drive at a good speed, you follow all the, you did not make any mistakes, you follow all the laws. You thought you were doing well. But then when you get there, you found out you are in the wrong place. This error, you may think, every day I'm a good Christian. I read the Bible. I go to church. I help people. I even pray for people every day. In that sense, you are doing well. But as you are journeying forward, if you're not discerning, you may be involved in that system of error. You may find yourself in a wrong place at the end when you arrive at the destination. This is the system of error designed to cause God's children to be carried away from God's central lane of Christ and the church. Just bear in mind, God's goal is the church, is for Christ, is for us to enjoy Christ so that we can be built up as the church, as his body, for his corporate expression. So Satan has his system of error, and man has their sleight, has their trickery to use these winds of teaching to lead people away. Now point E, the purpose of the winds of teaching, the evil purpose of the enemy Satan is to frustrate the building up of the organic body of Christ and to divide the members of the organic body of Christ, causing endless divisions instead of keeping the oneness of the body of Christ in love and in kindness. Dear saints, we know that we are living in the last days. The Lord has been longing to return, and he is returning soon. But before he returns, the bride has to make herself ready. And to have the ready bride, the body needs to be built up as one corporate new man. And this new man is not from only one place, is all the believers together in a substantial number who are willing to be built up, who deny themselves, deny their natural status, their natural race, their natural background, to be the perfected God-man. Dear brothers and sisters, today in the Lord's recovery, he is doing this all over the continents of the earth, from the east to the west, from the north to the south. He is gaining this organic building up of his body. This is unprecedented in the last 2,000 years of church history. This has never been seen, even in the days of the apostles, that the church's condition was not there. And today, in the midst of this confusing, darkened situation, the Lord raised up his recovery and has kept us to this day. 100 years since the time Brother Nee was raised up, and keeping us still here under this unique ministry of the New Testament, which is being carried out through the apostles' teaching, right? Keeping us in one accord, keeping us in this central lane. I hope, dear brothers and sisters, we know where we are. And we know what the enemy is doing. We need to enjoy these intrinsic and organic matters that we covered in the previous messages. And we need to reject all these winds of teaching, which may seem very appealing in men's mind, in men's reasoning. But as soon as you realize, it takes you away from the enjoyment of Christ. It frustrates you from being built up with other brothers in the church life as his one body. Reject those winds of teaching. Not give that even an inch. Don't lend your ear to listen to those teaching. Come back to the healthy word, right, which is according to the teaching of the apostles. Now we come to the last section, point F. The erroneous teaching concerning the absolute autonomy of a local church has crept into the Lord's recovery. Toward the end of 1980s, we had a turmoil in the recovery. And as we know, in the Lord's recovery, we are not exempt. We had experienced several turmoils, and every turmoil involved some winds of teaching, blowing the believers away, shaking up the believers. In this recent turmoil in the end of 1980s, a brother, a dissenting one who was once among us, he started teaching using the book published by the Brethren and of this teacher, G.H. Lang, on his teaching concerning the churches of God. He used that teaching, promote that teaching among the saints in the Lord's recovery, saying that all of us local churches should be autonomous. Every church is directly, independently responsible to the Lord. No church should interfere with the others, and no workers of God should interfere with the local churches once they are raised up. The local churches should be under the administration of the elders. The co-workers, the apostles, should be hands-off. That kind of a teaching seemingly has some appeal, has some appealing effect on saints, but it has a destructive impact, causing all the churches to be separated from one another, not willing to open to receive one another. It is subtlety, seemingly using a pretty good teaching to destroy the building up of the church as the body of Christ. Brother Lee rose up and exposed that teaching to the uttermost and preserved, using the speaking to preserve the saints. Now, let us see the following points. Number one, to teach that the local churches are absolutely autonomous is to divide the body of Christ. Well, are the churches, local churches, not autonomous? Well, it depends on how you say it. Yes, every local church is responsible to the Lord directly. Right? One city, one church. One church in one city. And there are the local elders as the overseers. But if you say the teaching that the local churches should be absolutely autonomous, or someone stressing this autonomous aspect of a local church so strongly, so that suppressing even the other side of the truth, which tells us the church is one body, by overstressing this aspect of the autonomy, will mislead the saints, bring in deception. So we need to be very clear. For the local churches to be absolutely autonomous is wrong. This will bring in division of the body of Christ. Number two, the teaching concerning autonomy has corrupted, misled, and deceived Christians and has created many divisions. Unfortunately, today, since the 1980s, at the end of the 80s, since Brother Lee addressed this matter, today there are still brothers stirring up this kind of teaching again to confuse the innocent, right? To use this kind of teaching, even drawing from Brother Lee's words to strengthen his stand, to emphasize that local churches should be autonomous, should have boundaries that other churches should not cross, that workers should not cross. This is total subtlety to damage, to frustrate the building up of the body. Number three says, the church is the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, no part of the church can be autonomous. In the first message, we saw the church and the body. What's the difference? The church is the framework. The body is the content. They are not different. As this brother may say, oh, there cannot be one church. There should be many churches, and they all should be distinctive. They all should have boundaries, separate from one another. The body is one. But in God's eyes, the church is the body. Every church is organic. We are not just judicially set up in a locality. Every church is part of the organic body of Christ. Christ has only one body on the earth, and all the churches are the expression of this one body. How can a church become autonomous or become independent of another part of the body? Can my hand be independent of my feet? Can my eyes be independent of my mouth? No. All the churches, they are organically connected with each other. It is impossible to be autonomous. So we must see the church is the body of Christ. Number four, the local churches are for the expression of the body of Christ. They are the manifestation of the body of Christ in various localities. Number five, in our consideration, the body should be first and the local churches should be second. Many of us, we treasure the local churches. They are so sweet. All the saints are so lovely. And we can practically meet together, serve together, which is wonderful. But when the light of the body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ becomes stronger and stronger, we realize the local churches are just a procedure. The body of Christ is the goal, right? So governmentally, localities may be here today and may not be here tomorrow. There are many countries, they practice the amalgamation of cities because they want to combine many cities into one bigger city. So like in Taiwan, like in New Zealand, overnight, the city of Taipei with many smaller cities were all amalgamated to become one new Taipei city. Overnight, scores of churches, scores of cities are no more. So as much as we love the local church life, where the saints can practically meet together, serve together, that is secondary. The body of Christ is primary, must be first. The local churches should be second, as we are practicing our church life in the localities. We are looking to be learning to be blended, to be built up as one organic body of Christ with all the saints, all the churches everywhere. And lastly, if we know the body and are conscious of the body, we will realize that the church as the organic body of Christ has nothing to do with autonomy. So I hope this is clear to all of us. When some would come to you with this kind of teaching, this kind of concept, oh, your church should be autonomous, don't be influenced by the thought of there is one church, or every church should be local, directly responsible to the Lord, should be autonomous. You have to say, this is deception. We are local churches, but we are local churches in one body. We cannot have boundaries to keep each other's away. Boundaries are for our existence in the body, not to keep us apart from the body. So I hope the Spirit can speak more than what my little speaking can do. And may the Lord strengthen and bless all the churches in West Africa, in other places that I don't know of, who are listening to these messages, that we would be preserved. And as we are pursuing Him to learn about all the positive intrinsic factors, the intrinsic essence, intrinsic building, intrinsic fellowship for the organic existence, organic perfecting, the organic function and all the organic relationship, so that the body of Christ can be built up soon, right, on the earth. The bride can be made ready so that this age can be ended. The Lord Jesus can be brought back, and the enemy would be exposed and be subdued and defeated, right? All his lies, all his subtlety through this negative intrinsic factor of the winds of teaching will be fully exposed and be put away. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Him. Amen. I finish. I turn the meeting back to the brothers.